I'm going to talk to you today about the Lord's Supper and hopefully its purpose and what it should mean to you when you partake it. We okay, Rick? All right, good. But first, a little anecdote. We were talking, George and I were talking, and he always said he had to have a joke or a story before he had a talk, and I have a anecdote about the Lord's Supper. Stella and I, when we were going back to Arkansas to visit her family on Bohannon Mountain, and her aunt Enzi, who was the matriarch of the family, she was a Vanderpool, but part of the family, we passed by a church building that we hadn't seen before. It was Church of Christ. In fact, I think there's only Church of Christ on Bohannon Mountain. And we got up to see Aunt Enzi, and we knew that Aunt Enzi wasn't going there. She went to the top of the mountain, and we asked her why she didn't go there. And she said, "My land, child, I couldn't go there because they're pinchers." And we scratched our head and said, "What do you mean by pinchers?" She said, "Well, you know the Lord, when he did the Lord's Supper, he took the bread and he broke it, and he passed it to his disciples. These folks down there pinch it off the loaf." And so I noticed today that I was a pincher. Most of you might have been. And so they also, on the top of the mountain, are one cup and no school. But they're still saints and in Christ, aren't they? No matter how they partake of the Lord's Supper. But anyway, we'll get to it here, because it's an important subject and one that I've got a thought that I think maybe you hadn't thought about today. Hopefully we'll get to that towards the end once I give you some background. God planned the sacrifice of his son Jesus, correct? And I think he also planned the memorial to him from the very beginning. And throughout history, he used symbols and types in the biblical history and law so that we would understand what they should mean and how they should affect us. God, you know, used blood sacrifices from the very beginning. Do you remember when they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden? The first sacrifices that were made in Genesis 4 was Cain and Abel, right? And the sacrifice that Abel made, since he was a sheep herder, was the sacrifice of a blood sacrifice of his lamb or sheep. And that sacrifice, that blood sacrifices, were continued throughout history until the final blood sacrifice was made when Jesus on the cross. So God intended blood sacrifices to be something that meant something to us, but the final one being Jesus. Let's read, I'll read from you from Hebrews. I'm using the New American Standard. It's one I had that I thought would be useful. I need to make sure I do this right. "But when Jesus appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled those who have been defiled and sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works?" Showing what God intended in the old law, the blood of bulls and goats on every sacrifice that they made all the time, until Christ, and he made the final sacrifices for. And what was the emblem that was used? His blood. So let's look at the types that were established at the Passover, which is where we first see these elements, both elements, being used to represent what's used in the Lord's Supper. You know, in Exodus 5 through 12, what was the situation? the children of Israel were in Egypt, in bondage, right? Then there were 9 plagues that the Lord used to try to get Pharaoh to let his people go. And after even the 9th plague, he would not relent. But then the 10th plague, what was the 10th plague? Would be the death of the firstborn male of all males, both man and animal. So let me read from you from Exodus, the 12th chapter. Several verses here, but I think it gives us the context of where we get our elements that we're going to be talking about today. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is the first month of the year to you," which was a new first month for them. "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they shall each one take a lamb for themselves according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbors nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to that which each would eat, and are to divide the lamb. And your lamb will be an unblemished male, a year old. You will take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 outdoor posts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat. And they shall eat the flesh of this the same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs, along with the lintels. And you shall not leave any of it over until the morning, but whatever is left of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And now you shall eat it in the manner with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be the sign for you on the houses where you live, and I will see the blood, and I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And notice this, and now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. But on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, and whosoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the 7th day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. And on the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the 7th day to work. No work will be done on them, except that you must be eaten, and every person, and you shall alone be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread, for this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance." Notice, they created a new first day. Abed is what it is. On the 14th day, the sacrifice of the male lamb or the kid without blemish, and the blood to be placed on the side post and lintel of the house. And the blood of the unblemished lamb was the sign that house would be passed over. In the day the Lord passed over the firstborn and brought them out of Egypt, he brought them out of Egyptian bondage and set them free, or redeemed them, to be a memorial remembered for all time, and to remind them that he established the Feast of the Unleavened Bread to remind them of this Passover. So what types do we see there? We see the blood and we see the unleavened bread, right? As the two types that are going to be continued on until we get to the Lord's Supper. Unleavened bread became a standard of all the sacrifices that were made in the three feasts that the Israelites were supposed to observe. Remember, they had the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or the Passover. They had the Feast of the Harvest, and they had the Feast of the Ingathering in Exodus. So we jump to when the Lord established the Lord's Supper. In Luke 22, in Mark 14, in Matthew 26, all talks about the same occurrence. Jesus and his disciples are where? In Jerusalem. And it's the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, or the Passover meal. And when the Passover lamb was sacrificed on the 14th day in the evening, Jesus wants to eat this meal with his disciples before his suffering begins. So in Luke, get here. I've got tabs here so I don't have to flip too far. In Luke 22, picking up the context at about verse 14, and then the hour had come, he reclined at the table with the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, Take this and share it amongst yourself. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread, gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after he had eaten, saying, This cup is poured out for you. It is the new covenant in my blood. So we notice that he set apart these two specific elements and made them represent the giving of his body and the pouring out of his blood of the new covenant, which by necessity negates the old covenant, right? It's a new covenant. It's not the old covenant that they were under. So Jesus takes the unleavened bread or the loaf, and he gave thanks, and he said, This is my body. Do it in remembrance of me. And he takes the cup. This is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you. When Paul addresses the Corinthian congregation that was having trouble with the Lord's Supper, there's a couple of things that come up that he mentions that I think is relevant to our discussion today. In 1 Corinthians 10, 16, and 17, Paul tells the people at Corinth, This is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ. Aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ when we partake of this? It is not the bread which we break, a sharing in the body of Christ. He explains that when we come together to take this, we are sharing in the blood and the body of Christ. Then he explains in 1 Corinthians 11, through 30. I didn't mark that down so I couldn't see it real quick. That we are to do self-evaluation when we partake this Lord's Supper. Right? And so he says, Therefore, whosoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. And for this reason, many of you are weak, many of you are sick, and many of you are asleep or spiritually dead. Because if we eat and drink unworthily, in an unworthy manner, or not giving proper weight or worth to the symbolic importance of the elements, he is guilty or responsible for the crucified body and blood of Christ. He says, let a man examine himself or prove himself or test himself. So let him eat the bread and drink of that cup. And if he does it, not discerning the body of Christ or discriminating that the elements, what the elements represent, he brings God judgment upon himself. And that is why many of them were sick and weak, and some were even dead spiritually. That can happen to us. We can soon forget who we are now in our death and burial and resurrection as a new man in a new covenant. Paul states in Galatians 2:20, gives us kind of a hint on what that should be. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself for me. The Lord's Supper is one of the ways we continually renew our mind in Christ, lest we become spiritually weak, sick, or eventually spiritually dead. We know that this is a collective and an individual physical act, that we should have a spiritual effect on us as a local assembly, and you as individual saints in Christ. Let me suggest, however, that the purpose of the Lord's Supper is far more reaching than just to remember the Lord while partaking of the elements on the first day of the week in this assembly. Its intention is for more than that. Let's look at John 6. And you that are Bible students will see what I mean by this. After Jesus has fed the 5,000, that was just the men, then the women and children as well, and he's teaching in Capernaum about the true bread of life. And this was before the Passover feast, as you remember in John 6. So in John 6, and these are impactful verses that the disciples had a little trouble with, didn't they? And pick it up about verse 47. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. And the Jews therefore began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Good question. How can he? Jesus therefore said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also will live because of me. And this is the bread which I came down from heaven, not as the Father ate, not as your fathers ate, and as in the died who eat his bread shall live forever. Jesus then makes the point, and that's why I say John 6 is more impactful than just partaking of the Lord's elements today on the first day of the week. God offers you the true bread of life which came down from heaven, which was Jesus. Jesus says, I am the living bread of life. He who comes to me will no longer hunger. He believes in me will not thirst. This bread, I, or Jesus, will offer for the life of the world is my flesh. And unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up in the last days. This was pretty difficult saying for the disciples. In fact, many left him after that. They said, how can we do that? How can we eat his flesh and drink his blood? Obviously, Jesus is using a figure of speech or a metaphor. The eating and drinking of his flesh and blood. In the Greek, the terms for eating and drinking, eating and drinking, is active with a continuing voice. So it's a constant eating and drinking of his flesh and of his blood. It is intended to be the habitual spiritual act of consuming and feeding upon Christ. By remembering his sacrifice for us and therefore our sacrifice to him, and consuming or feeding upon or internalizing his words, the scriptures, as a guide to our life to the glory of God. Jesus gave us a hint of what that meant in Matthew 4:4. Remember when he was being tempted by Satan? In fact, it was brought up today. And he was 40 days without eating, and Satan said, turn these rocks into bread. What did he say? It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What does it mean to eat the bread? Eat the flesh of Christ. And what does this bread represent when we take it? I submit to you that the Lord's Supper is a weekly reminder to constantly feed or eat and drink upon Jesus every day of our lives, not just on the first day of the week. The elements were established from the beginning as a figurative reminder of the Lord's sacrifice to us and that we have a new covenant. The Lord tells us to partake when we assemble together. The Lord is to be remembered when we do it. And the Lord wants us, as often as we partake it, to remember the new covenant we are in with God that was confirmed by his blood. The Lord wants us to continue this supper, remembering him until he comes again. And the Lord wants this supper to remind us to habitually or daily eat his flesh and drink his blood so we can have eternal life, not just on the first day of the week. We come here on the first day of the week to remind us to do this every day. Remember him in our lives and feed on his word. So in conclusion, do you think it was a coincidence that the Lord instituted his memorial supper on the very day that God's people observed the Passover meal? The very day that they sacrificed the unblemished male lamb whose blood caused the angel of death to pass over God's people? The day he led them out of bondage to freedom? I don't think so. are the elements the Lord chose to remember him by. The unleavened bread, his body. The fruit of the vine, his blood. Are they important? You bet they are. Is the Lord's Supper important and something we need to do regularly? You bet. Is partaking it without the discerning of the Lord's body or remembering the blood of the covenant harmful to us? Absolutely can be, can't it? The Lord's Supper is a physical act, but its significance and importance to our well-being is its spiritual effect on our daily lives. So let us give some time and thought to the Lord's Supper when we figuratively partake of the elements of the flesh and blood of Christ, and remember it all week, not just today. Remember it all week, not just today. And I know I've been guilty of that. I come and I think about the Lord here, but do I think about it all week? Do I feed upon him, his flesh and his blood? Not usually. And so why was this memorial made? It's memorial is once a week to remind us that we need to be doing it all the time. Feeding upon him, his flesh and his blood. Is there anything more important in our assembly than partaking of the Lord's Supper and then remembering to eat his flesh and drink his blood or feed upon him or consume him or internalize him in our daily lives? I don't think so. Are you in Christ? And have you put Christ on through baptism, putting off the old man and being born again in Christ, a new man? If not, why not? Let Christ add you to his assembly or church, as I talked about a couple of weeks ago. And you can start spiritually feeding on Christ every day of your life. And you won't become weak and sick, spiritually dead. You'll be strong in the Lord. And if we can help you in any way, please come as we stand up and offer the invitation song.